401, let us sing. Number 401.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
345. Let's sing it together. Hold us near to your heart, Lord. Draw us near, Jesus. Hallelujah. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it's all thy love to me. But I love to rise in the arms of faith and be closer. Opportunity tonight to pray. I heard somebody say earlier, tonight is only a prayer meeting.
What does that mean?
You get dressed sloppy.
If it's only a prayer meeting, we might just as well not be here.
I agree with Brother Bob. It's not only a prayer meeting, it's a prayer meeting. Prayer meetings are important. They really are. Prayer is important, and you all know that. Prayer is vital to the Christian. How could we make it through without prayer? Without the Bible? We can't. We can't. And I'm sure that we all know that. And there's something wonderful also about corporate prayer, praying together with others, joining together in faith with others. It's nice to pray, and I think sometimes it's more important to pray in your closet, not literally necessarily, but to get alone with God in prayer. Those are vital, very important times. And it's also important to gather together with God's people and to share our needs and to pray that God will undertake. And that's a wonderful opportunity we have. The pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. Sometimes people, when they go to prayer, are like Jesus' three disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? What were they doing?
Sleeping.
Now that's so hard sometimes to not sleep in prayer meeting. And I'm not just kidding. I mean, it's really true. I've known many people every Monday night in church. No, not every Monday, but I've known people, they fall asleep in prayer meetings. And they'll tell me, I'd rather fall asleep in prayer meeting than stay awake at home. I don't know. I guess that makes some sense. I'd rather stay awake in prayer meeting than fall asleep at home. But you might be tired tonight. And no doubt there are many of you that are. But if we could do our best to watch and pray for 1 hour. You know, and if that means that you can't put your head down on the chair, well, then don't put your head down on the chair. Sometimes, and I'm not suggesting everybody does this at once, but sometimes I've known people in prayer meeting, they just get up and they just walk, you know, a little back and forth. They have to. Brother Frank Poster, who was one of our fellowship pastors many years ago, when he was praying at home, he would have a bucket of water next to him. And every once in a while, he'd stick his head in it. Now, he'd come up then after a little while, but it would help him stay awake. Now, I don't know what you need to do to stay awake, and maybe nothing will help you tonight, but if we could pray for 1 hour and call on the Lord together and just bring our request, and sometimes you might pray out loud that others could join with you and say, yes, Lord, amen, we agree together. And there may be times when we won't be praying, at least not out loud, but that doesn't mean we're not praying. Prayer is not necessarily audible words to the Lord, although it does help when we want to unite in faith with someone. It's good to know what you're praying or what you'd like to request before God. Now, before we do that, though, I just wondered if anybody here has a favorite story in the Bible about prayer. Not from your life, not what God did in answer to your prayers, but is there any story in the Bible that you remember or like to remember when you think of prayer? Anybody? Yes, Sister Marian.
Hezekiah. He turned to the wall and he prayed.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we all remember that. Maybe we do. He turned to the wall and he prayed. Why did he do that? Do you remember?
I know.
The circumstances? And you pray for them all, Elizabeth, right? And that's a wonderful thing to pray for them all. Hezekiah had a great need. And he just all by himself turned to the wall and he prayed. And God answered his prayer in a very wonderful way. Anybody else think of another prayer? Yes, Brother Bob.
The most difficult prayer that I can think of is the Lord Jesus prior to Calvary, the night before. Plead with the Lord, not my will, but yours.
Okay.
It's easy for us to pray for our will, but to give it over to the Lord, that's another story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jonathan.
Don't Daniel chapter 8, an angel showing Daniel a prophecy of the entire Greek Empire and how it takes over Persia. And then Daniel's just beholding this great thing, and he's actually just sick afterwards because it's just... I mean, I don't like being sick.
That's your favorite story about prayer, huh?
Well, it's an amazing prophecy, but I don't like being sick.
No, me neither. But okay, Frank.
When Elijah prayed the 66-word prayer before the fire fell on the sacrifice.
Okay. Come near me, he said, right? Gather around me, and let's rebuild this altar. And you remember that story. Anybody else? Yes, Peter.
I often, the importunate widow, you know, she kept asking, and Jesus, and don't give up.
Okay, yes. Yes, Susan.
When Sarah and Abraham prayed for a child.
For how long?
A long time.
Yeah, they didn't give up. That goes along with what Brother Peter was saying. Sister Dolores.
Yeah, the woman with the issue of blood. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed.
Amen. Amen. Was your hand up, Sister Marie? Yes.
I don't know if it's already been said because I don't hear what everybody's saying, but when the church prayed for Peter, has that been mentioned?
No, it hasn't been, but yeah.
They were interceding, and a knock came on the door, and little Rhoda, I think was her name, went to the door, and she came back, and she said, Peter's standing at the door. Well, open the door and let him come in. And so they opened the door and met Peter, and a miracle. God unlatched the jail with guards standing there, and Peter of jail.
Amen. I saw another hand.
Church,
yes. Yes. There's a couple back there. There's Julie. Julie.
Oh, I don't remember if it's Elijah or Elisha, but I really like the one where he prays for his servant's eyes to be opened.
Gehazi, yeah.
He's coming against them, and then his servant's eyes are opened, and he sees the army of the Lord around.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Yes. Amen. Sister Edith. Yes. Yes, Jake.
When Jesus came up to a woman, the prostitute at the well, and he offered her living water and everlasting life.
Okay. There must have been a prayer in there someplace, I agree. And that's good. You know, we've heard, I mean, what I'm trying to get, what I'm gathering here is there's all by yourself, just getting to God and not letting go. Hanging on in prayer until you see the glory of God, until the answer comes. Then there's several different stories of corporate prayer. There's for physical need. There's for spiritual understanding. There's intercession for the people of God, that God would come to his people and help his people and deliver them. Sometimes they're obstinate and not doing very well. There are so many different kinds. I mean, you know, when you get a piece of paper that says, talk about prayer for a little, get a little talk on prayer, there's so many different angles to prayer, so many different things that could be said. And I would just like to, you didn't say mine yet. And I'd like to just be, and I'll be finished before 1:45 because we want an hour at least to pray. But I'd like you to look with me at Exodus chapter 17. It's one of my favorites. It has become one of my favorites. I'll tell you why in a moment. I guess I always liked the story. And if you were here this morning, it might trigger something. I hope it does when we read it. It's not a long story. And it has to do with Moses. And it says in the middle of the chapter, the beginning part of the chapter is a wonderful, wonderful part of the chapter where God does a miraculous thing. The children of Israel have no water, and he supplies that water. And right after that, it seems it goes from, you know, really great, wonderful, and then it goes to not so good. There's a difficult situation. Sometimes it's that way in your life and mine too. But here it in the end of the chapter, the 8th verse, it says the Amalekites. Does that ring a bell with any of you that are here tonight? Julia, please help me out. Say yes.
Yeah, we talked about it this morning.
Yes, Julia. Yes, John. Yes. Yes, we did. And you remember that too. Do you remember the Amalekites? You remember those flesh kind of people, those guys that I guess maybe there's a consensus on this, that we hate the flesh. do not like the Amalekites. They're antagonistic to the people of God. They always have been and they always will be. They will make war with the people of God from generation to generation. I don't think it stopped. I mean, physically it stopped, I guess. I don't know. But spiritually it hasn't. And there's still that conflict. And so here's the conflict. The Amalekites come and they attack the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Now it takes a lot of different people to fight. Some people have to get out there and do hand-to-hand combat. Some people are on the front lines. You might even call them pastors or missionaries. You might call them Christian workers. You might tonight even call them counselors. They're right there in the thick of things. They're right there in the battle. And they are fighting, really, they are fighting Amalekites. They're fighting unseen forces. They're not just fighting little kids, little innocent kids. I could tell you a month of stories of just up there in that village and how the fight is not with flesh and blood. There's a conflict that goes on. And so there are those that are fighting that conflict. There are those that are on the battlefield fighting that conflict. But I'm thankful that there are other people behind the scenes like Moses that nobody really saw. Nobody maybe knew that he was even up there except the few that he had mentioned it to. He went up to the top of the hill with the staff of God in his hands, and Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur is a him, in case you're wondering. Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. Whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. Now, that's rather clear what's going on here, I think. I think the lifting up of his hands, and I think that was intercession. It doesn't say the word prayer there. It doesn't say the word interceding. But I think that's what he was doing. He was lifting up his hands before God and interceding on behalf of those that were in the valley down there. I've had people say to me, "Brother Ernie, I can't pray. The situation is so overwhelming. I'm so sick. I'm in so much pain. I can't pray." And I understand what they mean because I've been there. And I've said to them, "You don't have to pray. That's our job now. That's what we're here for. We're here to pray you through. We're here to pray you through to the victory, to lay hold of God on your behalf." And we have stories like that in the Bible. Jesus seeing the faith of those men that brought their sick friend to Jesus. Jesus seeing their faith said to the sick of the palsy. And so what we do here tonight has ramifications all over the world. It really does. If you want to intercede for those missionaries that you know in wherever they may be, if you want to intercede for Sister Edith's daughter there in Honduras, if you want to intercede for the counselors or for the cottage counselors or whoever, someone that's sick, there are requests tonight for prayer. And we want to bring them to God and not just, you've got to lift your, not literally necessarily, but we've got to get before God and hold up holy hands. I would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I would that women would do the same thing before God. And tonight we have that opportunity to get into the battle. Maybe not face to face and not going to combat right now, but interceding on behalf of others that are fighting the Amalekites. And that's really the greatest foe. Sickness is a terrible foe, and we want to pray for those that are sick. People that are out of work is a terrible thing, and maybe you want to pray for those that are not at work. I don't know. There are many requests and many needs. But the one thing that I think is maybe more important than any of it is, Lord, destroy the work of the enemy. Bring your victory into hearts, into lives. I got a text this afternoon from someone from our church, and they just said, "Please pray for," and they named their son. He's going through something hard. He's strayed away from the Lord, and the concern is this man's soul, this man's heart, this man's life. Please pray for him. He's in a battle, and the Amalekites, if the hands are down, if prayer is not made for Pilgrim Camp, Pilgrim Camp is not going to be what you'd like it to be when you get here next year. God sets his presence into a place and maintains that presence because there are people that intercede. There are people that pray. Well, let me get on with the story here. It continues. It gets better. As long as Moses' hands were lifted, the Amalekites were losing. When his hands were down, the Amalekites were winning. And when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone. And they put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on the one side and the other on the other, so that his hands remained, speak, Lord, for thy servants hear. So that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. You got that? I mean, it goes on, the story does, and it does say some pertinent things about the Amalekites, but we're not going to go any more than that. That man, Moses, got tired. I don't know if you've ever gotten tired in praying. Maybe you've gotten weary in well-doing. But there are others, and I thank God for them. You know, a few years ago, I needed prayer. I always have needed prayer, and I thank God for people that prayed for me. But I've never appreciated it more than I appreciated it a few years ago. I had always been like Brother John, strong and healthy. And, well, maybe somewhat. And a few years ago, I couldn't get to camp, a couple of years. 1 year for this, 1 year for that, 1 year for something else. And I remember, and I mentioned this just a little bit yesterday when we saw the DVD at the end of it, because it was something to do with the DVD. But I came to camp Memorial Day 1 year. And we were here and we were looking at something. And we looked at it a couple different times. And I had just been diagnosed with a sickness that was troubling to me. And I wasn't so much concerned necessarily about the sickness, which could be fatal. And I didn't know what the prognosis would be at the time. And I had just been diagnosed with this. And shortly right after that, I came to camp. And not very many people knew of my situation. And I was mostly concerned about the fears in my heart. I remember expressing that to some of my friends back at home in one of the morning worships that we have at the Faith Home. I said, I'm not necessarily terribly concerned, although pray that the Lord will help me through this and I'd get over this and get better again, but I'm mostly concerned. Here I am preaching about faith and believing God and trust the Lord and don't worry and don't be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer. And I could preach that, and it preaches well, and it's good, and there are examples and biblical stories. But then it was me. Then I got the phone call that said the test results are positive. What does that mean? It means a bone scan, and it means this scan, and it means that, and it means... And as I thought about it, there was fear that got into my heart. Fear is kind of like the Amalekites. Fear is something that gets into us, and God wants to destroy those Amalekites. And I asked them to help me to pray, not only for the sickness, but pray that God would take that fear out of my heart, because that concerned me more than the sickness. It concerned me that I could still be afraid. I had seen the Lord heal my wife from a very terrible thing, and she had almost died when the first year after we were married. And the Lord had healed me from a collapsed lung, and surgery was scheduled the next day, and the Lord intervened, and I know that the Lord did. I sensed that He did. I felt His touch. And now here, and I thought, this is terrible. This is terrible. Lord, help me. Well, I came up here to camp, and we saw that, and on that DVD, the man that was speaking says something about, no matter what the situation, and then he mentions certain things, and he mentions cancer. And he said, it doesn't really matter what it is, but you need to lift your hands to God and believe Him. You need to trust Him. That'll take away the fear. That'll take away the doubt. And there I was. And there were a few people that knew about that in the meeting. And after the thing finished, people began to just worship the Lord, kind of like almost we were doing yesterday, and thanking the Lord. And the next thing I knew, there were people around me, literally. And I felt them go like this. And then I felt someone on the other side, and some people that are here tonight, or maybe they're here, they were there, and I felt someone lift up this hand. And they were just holding my hands up. And God with that, helped me with that fear. I believe he helped me through that situation. And I saw, as I've never seen before, how the family of God, how we need one another. We need Aaron's. We need hers. We need Moses's. And I don't know who you are or what you are, but if you're here tonight and you're holding on to God and you're getting tired, thank God that there are others right around you. And I don't mean, don't have to go around and try to lift everybody's hands tonight. The Lord has to do that or direct you to do that. But you know what I mean. I hope you know what I mean. Maybe you're a her here. Who's her? Who's he? Who's she? Who's it? Well, you're not an anybody. Nobody knows who her was, but how important her was to the whole thing going on down there in the valley. And everybody knows of Joshua, and everybody knows about Moses, but without her, I don't know if that one arm would have gotten up, and if that arm didn't get up, I don't know what would have gone down there in the valley, because when the arms were down, the Amalekites were winning. And so tonight, my encouragement to every one of you is, let's hold up people's hands spiritually. Let's intercede for those that are down there fighting it out. Let's pray one for another. Brother Bob is here with Sister Teresa, and Brother Bob represents a ministry. He's the choir director at Teen Challenge, and he's been serving the Lord in that capacity for 30 years. Is that right, Brother Bob, or close to it?
24.
24? Only 24. And he needs God's help, and we can pray for him. Take him on your heart. There's a man that lives around the camp not too far from here. His name is Sam Baker. And he's been diagnosed with something very, very difficult. And he's asked, his wife has asked, that we pray for him. We want to pray for him. We want to intercede for Sam. Some of you know Sister Anna Saylor, and she's not well physically and needs help from the Lord. And Brother Carl has asked that we pray for Sister Anna, that we ask God to help her. And there are other needs, other requests for the whole camp, and you know what they are. And maybe tonight there's somebody else that needs prayer or requests prayer. Is there any need on your heart? Okay, now, I'm not going to remember even these needs, all of them. And if we keep on going, it's just going to get worse, because I just won't remember them all. But God knows, you can bring that to God in prayer. And if you verbalize it, we'll all join in and pray with you. If you verbalize it, we'll hold your hands and we'll stand together and we'll believe God. Now, you don't all have to pray, but you might want to. And nobody has to pray for everything. Maybe you've got a great mind and you can just go off. You don't have to pray for all these requests, but take one thing or something to God, to the throne of grace. Maybe we want to go to our knees, change our position, get down before God. Could we sing just that verse? You don't have to look at in the book. What a friend we have in Jesus. It's 403, Julia. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And as we sing that, maybe you want to go to prayer and you want to call on God together with others and trust that He'll answer. He will. He's faithful. 403, just the first stanza. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Dear Lord, for the people of God, for the needs and requests that they have, dear Lord.